Petrograd smelt of carbolic acid. A pinkish-gray banner that had been red hung in the webbing of steel beams. Tall girders rose to a roof of glass panes, gray as the steel with the dust and wind of many years. Some of the panes were broken, pierced by forgotten shots, sharp edges gaping upon a sky gray as the glass. Under the banner, a huge fringe of cobwebs. Under the cobwebs, a huge railway clock with black figures on a yellow face and no hands. Under the clock, a crowd of pale faces and greasy overcoats waited for the train. Kira Argunova entered Petrograd on the threshold of a boxcar. She stood straight, motionless, with the graceful indifference of a traveler on a luxurious ocean liner, with an old blue suit of faded cloth, with slender, sunburned legs and no stockings. She had an old piece of plaid silk around her neck, and short, tousled hair, and a stocking cap with a bright yellow tassel. She had a calm mouth and slightly widened eyes, with the defiant, enraptured, solemnly and fearfully expectant look of a warrior who is entering a strange city and is not quite sure whether he is entering it as a conqueror or a captive. Behind her was a car overloaded with a freight of humans and bundles. The bundles were wrapped in bedsheets, newspapers, and flour sacks. The humans were bundled in ragged overcoats and shawls. The bundles had served as beds and had lost all shape. Dust had engraved wrinkles on the dry, cracked skin of faces that had lost all expression. Slowly, wearily, the train pulled to a stop. The last one of a long journey across the devastated plains of Russia. It had taken 2 weeks to make a 3 days trip from the Crimea to Petrograd. In 1922, the railroads, as well as everything else, had not as yet been organized. The Civil War had come to an end. The last traces of the White Army had been wiped out. But as the hand of the Red Rule was bridling the country, the net of steel rails and telegraph wires still hung limply out of the hand's grasp. There were no schedules, no timetables. No one knew when a train would leave or arrive. A vague rumor that it was coming rushed a mob of anxious travelers to the stations of every town along its way. They waited for hours, for days, afraid to leave the depot where the train could appear in a minute or a week. The littered floors of the waiting rooms smelt like their bodies. They put their bundles on the floors and their bodies on the bundles and slept. They munched patiently, dry crusts of bread and sunflower seeds. They did not undress for weeks. When at last, snorting and groaning, the train rumbled in, men besieged it with fists and feet and ferocious despair. Like barnacles, they clung to the steps, to the buffers, to the roofs. They lost their luggage and their children. Without bell or notice, the train started suddenly, carrying away those who had crawled aboard.